Anywho, you brought up T.I. and Boosie.
Nah, I mean, you was the one you said you wanted to rant.
Man, you brought up T.I. and Boosie, man. What you had to say about that?
I just want T.I. to, like, understand, right? Like, you ain't who you think you are.
And so, elaborate.
And I say that, like T.I. is one of, in my opinion, one of the greatest rappers to ever rap. Like he's in my top 10, easy. And that's a personal thing. I understand a lot of people disagree with me. T.I. is in my personal top 10, one of the greatest rappers to ever rap. I didn't like most of the albums. And when T.I. decide he want to rap,
he can rap. Like T.I.
He can really rap
on the mic. Now, you know, I made that face because I was thinking about the albums. I'm trying to separate the albums from the lyrics. Lyrically, he fire. After that King album, I don't know what's been going on.
He has some rocky moments, but whenever T.I. say, all right, I'm serious.
Yeah, he
drop fire records.
Five.
So I say all that because I don't want to seem like a hater because of what I'm finna say next. Ever since T.I. has stepped out of the music lane and into this whole cultural revolutionary lane that he trying to be in, it's been a string of fuck-ups, in my opinion. Like, the dude just can't control his mouth. And it's understandable. He's a world-famous rapper. But now you talking about stuff you really don't like. Like, so Lil Boosie is the culture, the representative for what culture? Unless you're talking about the culture in your house.
Well, so, yeah, Lil Boosie can't be the representative of black culture because he hired a grown woman to give his 12-year-old son a blowjob.
Which, and I don't care what none of y'all say, that's abuse.
That's sexual assault. That's sexual abuse. His ass should be in jail for that. That he lady should be in there too.
And the lady that did it should be brought up on charges of pedophilia.
Yeah. Now, so T.I. is saying this because of a lot of the stances Boosie has been taking against the LGBTQ community and some of the messaging that has been put out, more specifically the LGBTQ message. And that's how Boosie feel. That's how Boosie feel. But that does not make him the voice of the culture or the vocal leader of the culture. And he's speaking for Boosie. Neither Boosie nor T.I. is speaking for Joseph Ward.
Now he's speaking for Patrick Irvin either.
Yeah, because you can't that. So, and we had this conversation a while ago about T.I. So, and I'm gonna keep going back to the Malcolm X quote about not making celebrities, athletes, entertainers our leaders. Even Dick Gregory talked about that with Malcolm X, understanding that he is a celebrity, an entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
But he even quoted it, and he even understood what Malcolm was saying. Because these people are compromised. And so, yeah, you can say one thing, but T.I. is not even thinking.
I don't think so.
He's not even thinking, because you can't tell me that's what black culture is. You can't tell me Lil Boosie is the epitome of what black culture is. You can't tell me that. You can't.
Nah, because and I ain't even no slight to Lil Boosie neither.
No, because Lil Boosie had nothing to do with this. This is all T.I.
Right. Right. Lil Boosie represents a small, infinitesimal size of the black community. Like Boosie don't even represent the hood fully.
He represent the hood he from.
Right.
He represent Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Right. And that community is very unique and very distinct. And every community in Louisiana in particular, because of the history and everything else that went on there.
Right.
But
so,
go ahead.
Because there are similarities from like a cat like Boosie and a cat from Tallahassee. There's similarities, but great, great differences.
Absolutely.
So some aspects of what Boosie represents carries over to some places, but there are a lot of things that don't and don't carry over. And once again, this is, we're talking about this not because Boosie did anything recently, but because T.I. ran his trap saying something crazy and bringing Boosie into this. And so it is unfair in this regard that Boosie gonna get the shots that get thrown at him because T.I. can't shut the hell up.
Yeah, but even to that, I mean, like I agree with what you're saying, because Boosie got a whole host of other issues that but can be talked about. But this right here
ain't got nothing to do with
it. But this ain't one of them. T.I. needs to chill out. Because right now, he's talking out of both sides of his neck. He's uplifting that hood shit, that trap shit, that shit that we really don't need to be uplifting, while at the same time trying to uplift the entire community, and he's trying to point at both ends of it. Like, and I understand uplifting the entirety of a culture and wanting to embrace all of the trappings of the culture, but at the same time, you got to acknowledge that some components of the culture need to be left behind. And a lot of that shit is the shit that you like to represent, the shit that you made money off of.
What about cultural elevation? Because we don't, Black America don't need drug dealers. Let's just be real. Black America does not need people who sell drugs. How has that helped our community? Drugs and people who sell drugs and people who consume drugs have done more harm to Black America than good. So what? Some people came out of the drug culture and was able to become rappers, but how many didn't get out? How many communities were torn down? How many families were torn apart? How many people have died? That's why I don't get it when I see, I be wanting to karate chop people who are not from the hood, who try to play hood, but who try to embrace trap music, because they are just like the white people who didn't grow up in the hood, who didn't grow up in Black culture, who, oh, this is cool, it's a novelty, it's fun. Yeah, it's fun to somebody shooting at you. It's fun to somebody you know is actually addicted to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun to you see the real effects of it. I remember growing up here in Tallahassee's on McCaskill Avenue in the Lake Bradford area. And if you from Tallahassee, you get it, right? And between the ages of birth and five, I remember being able to go across the street to play one year. And then the next year, my pops like, nah, y'all can't go across the street. But we too young for them to explain it. But as we got older, we understood, because crack didn't hit. And when crack hit, and the shit wasn't cute. There's nothing entertaining or fun or nothing about that. Fuck the trap yoga. Fuck your trap and paint. Leave the trap out of it. If you are not from the world of drug selling, drug dealing, drug using, be thankful and go on about your life. There's nothing cute about it. Who cares? I like the music. That don't mean trap yoga. You ain't even serious. Come on, man. Trap yoga, drug dealing and centering, me going to a spiritual place mixed with drug dealing. How does that work? Low vibration, high vibration. That don't work.
But people will catch on to it because that's become Black culture.
I like the beat.
But I don't get it either. You know, I grew up in the worst parts of Tallahassee.
You grew up in way worse places than me, and I seen everything.
Yeah, and we've had a lot of turmoil in the family because of the places that we were a part of, the places we grew up in, and you never hear me glorifying any of that. You rarely even hear me talking about a lot of that shit.
Everybody that I know that's actually from the hood, actually from the projects, they don't glorify. It's only the people who grew up different, who think that's what it is.
But we gotta, you know, like one of the things, you know, cause my thing is like, I'd be like, yo, almost all of the Black celebrities are fuckboys or pussy hoes. They simps and suckers, or they dick sprung. And that's why that shit is prevalent in the community, because everybody we see on the big screen is that way. I'm the same way about this trapping shit. But then on another angle, I'm like, you know what would be useful? If we had real gangsters in the community. But we don't.
Real gangsters, yeah.
Real, like a real gangster. It's like, this is my community. I protect this community. If you come in here and fucking with anybody in my area, you got to pay the consequences to me.
Also, remember, and this was, I was reminded of this listening to a podcast. I don't remember which one I was listening to, but why don't white communities or other communities get policed? Or why don't high income, even middle income black communities get policed the same way as low income black communities? Because when you care about your community, you police it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be doing something in your community and continuously calling the police in your community for the police to start over policing and actively policing your community more than anything else. You have to not care about the activities and the things that are going on in your community. Everybody understands, even the black person that called themselves the most gangster black person, understand that there's certain white neighborhoods, even certain upscale black neighborhoods that your ass can move in, and you have to change your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You have to change your behavior. So they can miss me with all that. I'm gangster stuff. You understand certain spaces where you're going to change your behavior or you're going to be dismissed.
But my thing is like, because what you're saying is 100% true. And that goes into the, you know, we talk about changing the society. There are the coin has two sides to change. One is the social responsibility that we always talk about. The other one is the personal responsibility. Two sides of the same coin. But one of the other things is that I'm harping on when I start talking about the lack of gangsters in the black community is the fact that motherfuckers know that they can come in the community, do dirt, and leave with no consequences or repercussions.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, like, that's another angle
Everybody
of it.
Everybody know that.
Right. That's another angle of it. Nobody should be comfortable coming into black spaces, doing the worst shit they can think of, and then leave it. And that includes cops, political figures, and other law enforcement agencies. But everybody want to be gangster until it's time to do some gangster shit.
Right. And I'm going to even expand the our use of the word gangster, not to just actual real gangsters, but the black, everybody know the black community soft. If I'm a lily white politician and I never mess with black people before and I'm running for a position, all I have to do is find some sucker-ass preacher to let me come in this church and let him be a part of my campaign or whatever I need to tell him to make him feel like he's special and he down with the white man. And he'll throw his whole community. And they'll come in and just lie to everybody and just tell everybody anything they want to hear. And then you never see him again until 4 years later and just welcome him right back. Think about it. We had Simone Sanders crazy ass. Simone Sanders, she should have got a trial for any NFL teams for that tackle she did. Was she tackled a man or a woman? I don't remember what she tackled, but she tackled him up. Like, she went, there was, her form was trash now. Her form was hot trash. But
I'm not encouraging this.
You ain't got to. Simone Sanders' form was hot trash when she was tackling whoever she was tackling. But my thing is, though, in the spirit of what we're talking about, this lady, and how soft we are and how gullible we are. This lady went out of her way to put herself in physical danger. Now, Joe Biden has security. Even before then, this man was the vice president. Joe Biden got security. But this lady decided to put herself in physical danger for this man because her allegiance is just so much with him. But he ain't even pick her ass for the positions that she won, that she felt she should have been picked for. Hut, hut!
My thing, even with that, is like, because I agree, our community is definitely soft. And we want white people to love us so badly. A white politician don't even have to go to a church, he can just go to a basketball court and dribble the ball. Like, literally, that, like,
between he... between his legs, hit a shot.
Right, just go between his legs one time and shoot the ball. And he can miss with the shot. He ain't got to make the shot. And black people will be like, oh, shit, you see what he did? Yo, he got handles, bro. I'm voting for him.
Hey, brother, give me pound, brother. That's all I got to do.
Like, is that, like, and it's funny, too, because I be thinking about it. I be like, I'd be more comfortable walking through a black neighborhood as a white person than I am as a black person.
I always tell people that, man. Look, now, there are a certain caliber of white people. Now, every white person can't do this now. You got to be an actual white person that's respected by other white people, that's actually acknowledged by other white people. It's a certain caliber of white people. If you're a white person that's basically acknowledged on the same level as a black person, this does not apply to you. You're not real white. This is not.
We talking about white people with white cachet.
Yeah, your whiteness is not activated. All right? It's declined. But yeah, like, white people can, if you're white and you really want to see black people be afraid of you, put on a suit or put on a collar shirt with some slacks and tuck your shirt in and walk through the hood.
Ain't nobody gonna trip. It might be some people walk up to you and ask you what you doing, but it ain't gonna be from like a threatening standpoint.
Them little kids. It's gonna be the kids. The kids are gonna be the ones. Hey, what you do, Mr. Sir? What you do, Mr. White Man? But it ain't gonna be them adults.
Because they scared.
But they scared. The thing is, everybody knows that about black people. But we that's think what nobody I was just knows. We think, one, nobody knows, and two, a lot of black people, because I remember having this conversation with some people, a lot of black people really believe that white people on a large scale are afraid of black people. No, they're not. Why do you think these old white women don't have no problem running up on a grown, big old black man two times her size and telling him, you're not getting in this building? Yeah, she's so afraid.
There ain't no fear present. Fear not activated.
Yeah, because she's like, I'm a white woman. All I got to do is yell. And police don't come here and kill you.
I forget his name. Dennis something or another. Real, real, real funny brother. He was the first person I saw put this into a sketch. And it's funny, too, because I was having this conversation with some kids today that I work with. And they really do believe that white people are scared of black people. Yeah. And it's always funny having that conversation because it's like, well, why would they be? But
right.
To go back to the comedy sketch, this brother said if he was a white girl, he would run around robbing black people without a gun. He would just walk up to him and be like, give me your money or I'm going to scream. And black. And it was funny. Because that's as a true. Black man, I know
that fear. That
a good chunk of us would just give her our money and be like, hey, man, bitch, get the fuck out of here.
Because look, there's a minority of black men who will see a white woman crying and actually go and try to help her. That's a small percentage. Most black men understand if you see a white woman crying, you need to go the opposite way.
Yeah,
you might be blamed.
As far away from that as possible.
You might be blamed.
No, it's your fault. Even if you ain't do nothing, if she's proud to be crying and you in the vicinity, it's your fault.
And that's why white women weaponize their white womanness and their tears. And that's why we can see white women on camera, whether it's a black man or a black woman, they'll start the confrontation and then say, oh my God, oh my God, they call the police, oh my God, he hit me. Why? Because they understand they can weaponize their whiteness. And they understand the power that they have, because it's a good chance the police gonna show up and probably kill a black person.
But hey.
But they scared of us.
So yeah, T.I., I say all that to say, stop. Just think a little bit. Like, you know what? I'm gonna put it in the words of a white girl named Laura Ingraham. Shut up and rap.
Hey, Laura Ingraham can go to hell, by the way. Laura Ingraham can go to hell.
Oh, absolutely, she can.
Yeah. So, before we close this out, I got to cover this. So, That's what he did. That's what Umar did. Umar. So I saw yesterday, I was scrolling, I saw Umar versus Mike Tyson, Umar versus Mike Tyson, Umar versus Mike Tyson. So I didn't click on it last night. I was in my zone. I was working last night. You know, we had our meeting and I was working and stuff last night. So I didn't really get in on it. So today I had the time. So I'm like, man, what is this Umar Mike Tyson thing? So I click on the video and that's what I see. Umar. Mike Tyson, me and you, 5 rounds, $2 million for my school. I'm already taller than you. I know that. I'm taller than you. So let's rewind. How do we get here? So did some little bit of research today. So look, are you familiar with the rapper Freddie Gibbs?
I am. I'm also familiar with celebrity boxing matches, but go ahead.
Okay. So shout out to Freddie Gibbs. He be riding. So Freddie Gibbs was a guest on Mike Tyson's podcast. And they were talking about interracial dating. And so Freddie Gibbs says, oh man, Dr. Umar gonna be mad at us. So Mike Tyson, well, who is Dr. Umar? How dare Mike Tyson? How dare the world renowned heavyweight champion of the world, Mike Tyson, not know who Umar is? Who is Dr. Umar? I never heard of this. I don't know this guy. And I'm paraphrasing stuff Mike saying at this point, but I don't know this guy. I never heard of this Umar guy. So who is this Umar? And so Freddie Gibbs does a horrible job of explaining who Umar is. Horrible. Because Freddie Gibbs was basically, he was trying to say Dr. Umar is a pro-black person that worked for the community, and he's against interracial dating. Or interracial marriages. I don't disagree with Umar's stance on interracial marriages. I agree with Umar on that. But Mike Tyson ain't pro-black. Mike Tyson come from a whole different demographic background and all these things. We know Mike Tyson's story. So we know Mike Tyson look at white people totally different. But once again, going back to Freddie Gibbs, Freddie Gibbs did a horrible job of explaining who Umar was. And it basically came out that Umar is this dude that hate white people and interracial marriages. And so and so that's how it was explained to Mike Tyson. Once again, Mike Tyson has no idea who Umar is. And so Mike Tyson basically, I'm paraphrasing, basically like, well, this guy can't be for love or for the upliftment of the community if he hating people. And he's going off of how Freddie Gibbs explained it. That's it. Then you see Umar. Me and Mike Tyson, 5 rounds. Me and you going to go down $2 million for help me get my school and all this. And it's like Umar Johnson is challenging Mike Tyson to a fight, 5 rounds. I want to see it just to see Umar with his shirt off and them boxing pants, to see him built like one of them Mr. Potato Heads. Like that's I want to see. I just want to see Umar. Umar built like somebody great grand uncle, and they're trying to fight. He's talking about Bernard Hawkins, Floyd Mayweather. You can train me. First of all, Mike Tyson ain't finna waste his time with you. Mike Tyson to beat Umar. Just one hit. Umar done. Just one hit. Well, Umar, I'm already taller than you. I know I'm taller than you. I'm already taller than you. He fought Lennox Lewis, fool. Hey, Professor Carl Tone Jones, you from Philly. This one's on you. Get your homeboy.
All right.
Get your homeboy.
I ain't touching that one. At all. I ain't got no words.
Don't you say
none of that,
Umar.
Malarkey.
Let me see that. Let me see that 1-2 combo, Umar. Hey.
Umar, I ain't touching that.
Hey man, that I thought that was hilarious.
I'm sure it was. I'm gonna go find the clip because I do want to laugh at it because I consider Umar to be a cold 12 as well. But I ain't because I don't think it's going to happen.
Look, okay. So if I'm Mike Tyson, because Mike Tyson has an opportunity to fight either one of the Paul brothers.
For a lot more than $2 million.
If I'm Mike Tyson, either Jake or Logan Paul, who everybody knows, and I can get paid like Floyd Mayweather, or Umar Johnson, who black people, who conscious black people know, and I got to give him $2 million for his school that ain't nobody still going to. So. But okay.
Hey, right. Like,
that's,
I don't.
That's an easy decision. I'm fighting one of the Paul brothers.
Like, if Mike Tyson take the fight, I'm going to be honest, I would look at Mike Tyson less.
If Mike Tyson, what's the incentive? What's the incentive for Mike Tyson to? This is all for Umar. If Mike Tyson even acknowledges Umar's presence, Umar, that's a victory for Umar. If I'm Mike Tyson, I'm not even responding to this because that helps him. I'm not saying anything else about Umar ever again if I'm Mike Tyson. Because I don't need to. Why? Because I'm Mike Tyson.
I said what I said.
But it wasn't malicious. And it was what Mike Tyson said was not malicious. And it was a response to a horrible description of Umar. Freddie Gibbs did not do a great job of explaining who Umar was. The way it came out, he made it seem like Umar was a reverse racist or whatever word white people like to use. Like, he's the black person who hates white people. Umar don't hate white people. Umar just pro-black.
Umar is pro-Umar.
With that too. So, he just so happened to be black. So, I guess that's concession for us.
That's why I said I ain't touching it. Because I do consider Umar to be a cold 12. So, I'm not saying Umar hasn't done any good in the community. There are a lot of cold 12s that have done good in the community. But at the end of the day, to me, he's a cold 12 because Umar is more about Umar than he is about anything else.
So, hey, so I probably shouldn't say this live, but I found out what a 304 was, but I tell you off camera so YouTube won't find out what a 304
is. I already know what a 304 is.
Okay, I found out what a 304 is. I was like,
man. You just found out?
Because I just started, my first time hearing it when watching those Pink Book Lessons videos on YouTube. Uh-huh. And that's what she used, 304s. And at first I was like, I think I know what 304 mean, but let me go look it up. I was like, oh, boo.
Yeah, flip it around.
Yeah, yeah. So shout out to the 304s. holla at me. Oh, you 304s, holla at me. So no, I'm just playing. Yeah. I'm just playing. I ain't trying to be on Pink Book Lessons looking like a crazy man. So hey man, shit, I didn't wipe my feet in this. I'm good. So we finna shut this bitch down unprofessionally. Bye, y'all.